A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's personal. He's been thinking about kosher MREs, those shelf-stable meal pouches designed for field conditions. He ordered one from Amazon out of curiosity, and the experience was, let's say, not the apex of his culinary life. His real question is whether MREs inherently suck, or whether there are decent kosher options out there at a price point that actually makes sense. He's looking for a layered meal prep strategy, not making MREs the centerpiece, but wanting some edible ones in the pantry for travel or emergencies, and he wants to know what shelf life actually looks like.
That Amazon MRE experience. I've been there. I ordered a kosher beef stew pouch about 3 years ago. The texture was somewhere between library paste and regret, and I'm sitting there thinking, this cost me $17. $17 for a meal that made me nostalgic for hospital cafeteria food. And I was a pediatrician. I ate a lot of hospital cafeteria food.
The thing is, Daniel's seen this up close. Growing up in Ireland, Chabad emissaries would visit for a couple of weeks each summer. Young guys maintaining kosher in a country with basically no kosher infrastructure. Tuna sandwiches become a staple, not because they're good, but because they're reliably kosher and shelf-stable. And that's the baseline we're working from. When the alternative is your 7th tuna sandwich of the week, an MRE starts looking like a reasonable proposition.
That's what makes this question worth digging into. It's not just do MREs taste bad, it's about the intersection of dietary law, food science, and emergency preparedness. Whether the constraints of kosher certification, shelf stability, and small batch economics create a product that's inherently compromised. And whether there's a better way to build the kind of layered food system Daniel's describing?
Let's start with the basics. What actually makes an MRE an MRE, and why does kosher certification make everything harder?
The core technology is the retort pouch. It's a flexible laminate, usually layers of polyester, aluminum foil, and polypropylene, that gets filled with cooked food, sealed, and then sterilized at about 250 degrees Fahrenheit under pressure. That's hot enough to kill any pathogen, including botulism spores. The pouch is then shelf-stable for years without refrigeration. It's genuinely brilliant engineering. The military started adopting retort pouches to replace canned rations in the 1980s because they're lighter, take up less space, and the food heats faster.
Cooking anything at 250 degrees under pressure is going to do things to the food.
Proteins denature and get tough or mushy. There's almost no middle ground. Starches break down. Volatile aromatic compounds that give food its smell and flavor get driven off or chemically altered. The Maillard reaction compounds that make roasted meat taste roasty, they degrade over time in the pouch. What you're left with is a product that's safe and calorie dense, but the flavor profile is basically a shadow of what went in. And that's before we even get to the kosher constraints.
The baseline MRE is already fighting an uphill battle on taste. Now layer on kosher certification.
Kosher certification isn't just a blessing over the finished product. It means no mixing of meat and dairy in the same meal. No non-kosher animals, no shellfish, no gelatin from non-kosher sources. Practically speaking, that eliminates a huge chunk of the flavor toolkit. No cheese sauces, no cream-based soups, no bacon or ham for umami, no butter to finish a sauce. You're working with beef, chicken, fish with scales, or plant-based proteins, and your fats are limited to vegetable oils and schmaltz, rendered chicken fat, which is traditional but not exactly a neutral canvas.
Gelatin, that's in everything.
It's everywhere in processed food. Gelatin is used as a thickener, a stabilizer, a texturizer. In a standard military MRE, you might have gelatin in the dessert component, in a sauce, in a meat product to bind it. Kosher MREs have to use alternatives, carrageenan, agar, pectin, which don't always behave the same way. Carrageenan can give a slightly different mouthfeel. Agar sets firmer. It's not that you can't make it work, but it's another variable in an already constrained formulation.
Then there's the economics. These aren't being produced at the same scale as military MREs.
The scale difference is enormous. A standard military MRE contract might be for millions of units. The kosher MRE market is tiny by comparison. Niche suppliers, limited production runs, higher per unit costs for everything from ingredients to packaging to certification supervision. A typical military MRE costs the government somewhere between $8 and $10 per meal. Kosher MREs sold commercially run $12 to $18 per pouch. On Amazon right now, you're looking at $14 to $20 per meal. A 12-pack of kosher MREs from a major supplier like Sepatco or Ameriqual runs about $180 to $220.
$20 for beef stew that tastes like it was cooked in an autoclave. Which, to be fair, it was.
That's exactly what it was. And here's the thing about small production runs. Recipes don't get updated. The civilian freeze-dried meal market has exploded with innovation over the past decade. Mountain House and their competitors are constantly iterating on flavors, textures, ingredient sourcing. A kosher MRE you buy today might be based on a formulation from 2015. The market isn't big enough to justify the research and development cost of improving the recipe, so you're paying a premium for a product that's essentially frozen in time.
That's a grim picture. But let's back up to the Shabbat emissary experience Daniel described, because I think it's the real-world stress test for this whole category.
These are young men, typically in their early 20s, traveling to places like Ireland, rural Thailand, small towns in South America. They're there for weeks at a time. There's no kosher restaurant, no kosher grocery store, often no Jewish community infrastructure at all. They're maintaining kashrut in environments that were never designed for it. The baseline diet is tuna sandwiches, hard-boiled eggs, peanut butter, crackers, and fresh fruit when it's available. No hot meals unless they can find a kosher kitchen or someone's home that's been kashered for their visit.
That's a diet that no dietitian would recommend for weeks on end. The psychological toll of eating the same cold meal twice a day, every day, that's not trivial. Food isn't just fuel. There's a reason comfort food is a concept.
From a clinical perspective, you're looking at potential deficiencies if this goes on long enough. Tuna gives you protein and some B vitamins, but you're getting almost no variety in your micronutrients. The omega-3s in tuna are good, but you're also getting whatever mercury load comes with eating canned tuna daily. Peanut butter gives you fat and protein. Crackers give you carbohydrates. But you're missing a whole spectrum of phytochemicals, fiber diversity, different amino acid profiles. It's survivable. Obviously, these guys do it and they're fine. But it's not optimal. Against that baseline, an MRE that you can heat up and that gives you a hot meal with some variety starts to look valuable, even if the taste is mediocre.
The MRE isn't competing against a home-cooked meal. It's competing against your fourth consecutive tuna sandwich.
And in that context, edible has a different meaning. It doesn't mean delicious. It means I can eat this without dread. It gives me calories and protein, and it breaks the monotony. That's a much lower bar, and it's one that some kosher MREs can actually clear. The honest answer is that it depends heavily on the specific menu and how you prepare it. The kosher beef stew from Ameriqual, if you heat it properly using the flameless ration heater, not just eating it cold, is passable. The meat is tender enough, the gravy has some flavor, the chicken with rice is similar. The tuna with noodles tends to get the best reviews from people who eat these regularly. Probably because tuna in a pouch is already a familiar texture, and the noodle component doesn't suffer as much from the retort process as beef does. But none of these are going to win a taste test against even a mediocre fresh-cooked meal. The value proposition is convenience and reliability, not flavor.
Let's talk about the flameless ration heater, because that's a piece of the puzzle Daniel might not have encountered.
The FRH is basically a plastic bag containing a magnesium iron alloy powder. You add a small amount of water, about an ounce, and it triggers an exothermic reaction that generates enough heat to warm a retort pouch in about 10 to 15 minutes. The reaction produces hydrogen gas, so you need ventilation. It's clever, it works, but it adds weight and bulk to your kit, and it's single use. A small butane stove, the kind that screws onto a fuel canister, heats a meal in about 3 minutes and can be used for boiling water, cooking from scratch, making coffee. For home emergency prep, the butane stove is almost certainly the better choice. For true field conditions where you can't carry fuel, the FRH makes more sense.
We've established that dedicated kosher MREs face real technical and economic challenges, But does that mean they're always a bad choice? Let's look at the alternatives, because I think this is where things get interesting.
This is where Daniel's layered meal prep defense strategy idea really shines. MREs are one layer, not the whole system. And when you zoom out, there are actually much better options for most of the use cases he's describing.
Walk me through the alternatives.
The biggest one is civilian retort pouches, specifically Indian and Thai curry pouches. Tasty Bite, Maya Kaimal, Patak's, many of these are kosher certified. Tasty Bite Madras lentils, for example, are certified kosher and cost about $3 per pouch. That's a fully cooked, shelf-stable, flavorful lentil curry. Pair it with a packet of pre-cooked rice, another $2, and you've got a complete meal for about $4.50. That's a quarter of what a kosher MRE costs, and it tastes dramatically better.
The shelf life on those?
Typically 12 to 18 months, which is shorter than an MRE, but perfectly adequate for a rotating pantry. If you're building an emergency food supply, you should be rotating through it anyway. Eat what you store, store what you eat. The buy it and forget it for 5 years model is actually a worse strategy for most households because you end up with food you don't want to eat, and when the emergency comes, you're facing a pantry full of meals you dread.
The Indian curry pouch approach gives you better taste at lower cost, with adequate shelf life for a rotating pantry system. What about longer-term storage?
That's where freeze-dried meals come in. Mountain House is the big name here. They've been doing this for decades. Their meals have a 30-year shelf life, which is remarkable. Many of their offerings are kosher certified, though you need to check individual labels because not all are. The cost is about $8 to $12 per pouch. They require boiling water to reconstitute, so you need a heat source and clean water. But the taste is significantly better than an MRE. The freeze-drying process preserves flavor compounds much better than retort sterilization does. The texture of freeze-dried chicken or beef is still not fresh, but it's closer.
30 years is a wild number. How do they actually achieve that?
Freeze-drying removes about 98% of the moisture content versus retort pouches, which keep the food moist. Without water, chemical degradation reactions slow to a crawl. The food is also packaged with oxygen absorbers in a sealed pouch. As long as the pouch stays intact and the storage temperature is reasonable, the food remains safe and palatable for decades. The military uses freeze-dried components in sub-rations, but the full MRE system uses retort pouches because they don't require water for preparation. You can eat them cold in a pinch. That's the fundamental trade-off. Retort pouches are ready to eat. Freeze-dried meals need water and heat.
For Daniel's situation, home emergency prep with a 1-year-old in the house, the freeze-dried route seems more practical than MREs. He's not in a foxhole. He has access to a stove and water.
And building on that, I want to introduce what I think of as the build-your-own MRE concept. Instead of buying a pre-assembled kosher MRE at $15 to $20 per pouch, you assemble your own kit from individual components. Take a kosher-certified retort pouch, say a Tasty Bite Chana Masala or a Maya Kaimal Coconut Curry, add a packet of pre-cooked rice or quinoa, include a small pouch of olive oil for extra calories. Add some shelf-stable protein like a tuna packet or a pouch of seasoned chickpeas. Throw in a few packets of hot sauce or soy sauce for flavor. The total cost is maybe $5 to $8 per meal. The taste is substantially better. The shelf life is 12 to 18 months, and you can customize it to your own preferences.
You're basically building a bespoke field ration. The trade-off is that it requires some assembly and planning, and the packaging isn't as compact or standardized as a military MRE.
A military MRE is designed to be thrown into a rucksack, survive being dropped, sat on, and exposed to weather, and still be edible 3 years later. The packaging is over-engineered for civilian use. For Daniel's pantry, he doesn't need that level of durability. He needs food that won't spoil, tastes decent, and can be prepared with minimal effort on a chaotic day when the baby's not sleeping and cooking from scratch isn't happening.
Let's talk about shelf life in more detail, because I think there's a widespread misconception that MREs last forever.
That misconception probably comes from the fact that MREs don't have an expiration date in the traditional sense. They have an inspection test date. But the reality is that shelf life is highly dependent on storage temperature. MREs are rated for 5 years at 80 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the standard. But if you store them in a garage that hits 100 degrees in the summer, the shelf life can drop to as little as 18 months. On the flip side, basement storage at a steady 60 degrees can extend the usable life to 10 years or more. The chemical reactions that degrade food, oxidation, Maillard browning, lipid rancidity, all speed up dramatically with heat. The rule of thumb is that every 18 degree Fahrenheit increase in storage temperature cuts the shelf life in half.
The 5-year number is a conservative estimate under controlled conditions, and most people's actual storage conditions are worse than they think.
Especially in Israel, where Daniel lives. A Jerusalem apartment without air conditioning can easily hit 85 or 90 degrees indoors during the summer. If you're storing MREs in a pantry that isn't climate controlled, you might be looking at 2 to 3 years of reliable shelf life, not 5. And kosher MREs from reputable suppliers like Sopako and Ameriqual use the same retort technology as military MREs, so the shelf life characteristics are comparable. The certification doesn't change the physics of food degradation.
What about the misconception that kosher MREs are just regular MREs with a rabbi's blessing?
That one drives me nuts. Kosher certification is a supply chain and ingredient audit, not a ritual. The certifying agency, organizations like the OU, Star K, OK Kosher, sends a mashgiach, a kosher supervisor, to inspect the production facility. They verify that every ingredient coming in meets kosher standards. They ensure that meat and dairy equipment are kept separate. They check that the production line isn't contaminated with non-kosher residue from previous runs. For a kosher MRE, this might mean the facility has to do a full cleaning and kosherization of the equipment before the kosher production run begins. That's part of why the per unit cost is higher. You're paying for that dedicated production time and supervision.
The ingredient restrictions are real. No cheese sauce means no chili mac, which is one of the most popular standard MRE menus. No cream-based soups, no bacon bits in anything.
The flavor palette is narrower from the start. Standard MREs use dairy and pork products extensively. Cheese spreads, cream sauces, bacon bits as a flavor enhancer, butter in baked goods. A kosher meat MRE can't have any of that. The kosher versions have to build flavor from the ingredients that are permitted, which is harder and more expensive. It's not impossible. There are plenty of delicious kosher dishes in the world, but the MRE format, with its retort processing and long shelf life requirements, amplifies the difficulty.
Where does this leave Daniel's layered defense strategy? Give me the concrete framework.
I'd structure it in 3 tiers. Tier 1 is 3 days of no cook food. This is your grab-and-go layer. If you need to evacuate or if the power's out and you can't cook, tuna packets, crackers, peanut butter, dried fruit, nuts, shelf-stable hummus cups, protein bars. This is where MREs could fit if you want a hot meal without cooking equipment. But honestly, a tuna sandwich and some trail mix will get you through 3 days just fine. Cost per meal here is maybe $2 to $4. Tier 2 is 2 weeks of boil water meals. This is for a longer disruption, a major storm, infrastructure damage, a situation where you have water and a heat source but limited fresh food. This is where freeze-dried meals shine. Mountain House pouches, instant rice, dehydrated vegetables, powdered eggs, instant soups. You need boiling water and about 10 minutes of wait time. Cost per meal is $5 to $10. This tier gives you hot food, variety, and reasonable nutrition for up to 2 weeks. Tier 3 is 3 months of pantry staples, canned goods, dry beans, grains, pasta, cooking oil, spices, shelf-stable sauces. This is the deep pantry, food you'd actually cook with in normal life, just maintained at a level that could sustain you through an extended disruption. The key here is rotation. You're not buying special emergency food, you're just keeping a deeper inventory of what you already eat. Cost per meal can be as low as $2 to $3 because you're buying in bulk and cooking from scratch.
The kosher MREs, where do they actually fit in this system?
Honestly, for Daniel's use case, they probably don't. A dedicated kosher MRE at $15 to $20 per pouch is paying a premium for military-grade packaging and true no-cook portability that he doesn't need in a home pantry. The only scenario where they make sense is if he's traveling to a place with no kosher infrastructure and no cooking equipment, which is exactly the Chabad emissary scenario. In that case, having a few kosher MREs in your luggage is a reasonable hedge. But for home emergency prep, the build-your-own approach with kosher-certified retort pouches and freeze-dried meals gives you better food at lower cost.
Let me push back on one thing. You said the MREs don't fit for home use, but Daniel mentioned being overwhelmed with a 1-year-old. there's a convenience factor here that isn't just about emergencies. If it's been a brutal day, the baby's finally down, and you realize you haven't eaten, the ability to tear open a pouch and have a hot meal in 10 minutes without thinking about it has real value.
That's fair. And that's where the Indian curry pouches plus pre-cooked rice really shine. It's the same level of convenience, tear, heat, ED, but at a third of the cost and with much better flavor. You can keep a stack of Tasty Bite pouches and rice packets in the pantry, and on a bad day, you've got a hot lentil curry in 5 minutes. It's not a fresh cooked meal, but it's satisfying in a way that a $17 beef stew pouch isn't.
The kosher certification on those is reliable.
Tasty Bite Madras lentils carry OU certification. Maya Kaimal has several kosher certified products. Patox has options. You do need to check each label, certification can change, and not every product in a brand's lineup is certified. But there's a surprisingly wide range of good-tasting, kosher-certified, shelf-stable meals available in regular grocery stores. The kosher MRE market exists because people assume they need a specialized product, but the mainstream food industry has actually solved a lot of this problem already, just not in a package labeled MRE.
That's the thing about niche markets. Sometimes the general market catches up without the niche noticing.
The kosher food market overall has grown enormously. It's not just observant Jews driving it. There's a broader consumer perception that kosher certification signals quality control and clean ingredients. Halal-conscious consumers, people with dairy allergies who trust the meat-dairy separation, vegetarians who want assurance about hidden animal products. That broader demand has pushed mainstream brands to get certification, which means more options for everyone.
We've got a market that's essentially frozen in time, serving a real need but doing it poorly, while the broader food industry has quietly developed better solutions that most people don't know about.
That's the actionable takeaway here. If you want kosher shelf-stable meals, skip the dedicated kosher MRE market entirely. Build your own kit from kosher, certified retort pouches. Indian curries, Thai curries, lentil stews, plus shelf-stable grains. You'll get better taste at lower cost with adequate shelf life for a rotating pantry. If you specifically need true MREs for field conditions with no cooking equipment and extreme portability, accept that the taste will be mediocre and focus on variety to avoid flavor fatigue. Buy a mix of menus, heat them thoroughly, and use the flameless ration heater. It improves the experience. And for home emergency prep, don't rely on any single product category. Build the layered system, 3 days no cook, 2 weeks boil water, 3 months pantry staples.
What's the per meal cost benchmark we should be aiming for?
For decent kosher shelf-stable food, $5 to $8 per meal is a reasonable target. At that price point, you're getting good quality retort pouches or freeze-dried meals with real flavor and nutrition. Anything above $12 per meal and you're paying for the MRE label, not for quality. The kosher MREs on Amazon at $15 to $20 per pouch are simply not competitive with what you can assemble yourself.
A shelf life reality check. What should Daniel actually expect?
For the build your own approach with retort pouches, 12 to 18 months under normal pantry conditions. For freeze dried meals, decades if stored cool and dry. For true MREs, 5 years at 80 degrees, but substantially less if storage temperatures are higher. The key practice is rotation. Don't buy a stash of emergency food and forget about it. Integrate it into your regular eating. When you use a pouch, replace it. That way your emergency food is always fresh and you actually know what it tastes like and how to prepare it.
Where does that leave us? I think there's a bigger question here about how we think about food in constrained environments.
The Chabad emissaries Daniel described. Those guys eating tuna sandwiches for 2 weeks in rural Ireland. They're a reminder that necessity drives adaptation. The question isn't whether MREs can be gourmet. It's whether we can build food systems that respect both our constraints and our dignity. Sometimes that means finding a better MRE. Sometimes it means a really good tuna sandwich, made with care, on decent bread, with a squeeze of lemon and some black pepper. Constraints don't have to mean suffering. They just mean being intentional.
As the kosher food market keeps growing, driven by both observant consumers and the broader demand for clean label, ethically certified food, I wonder if we'll see better kosher MREs in the next 5 years. Or is the military contract model too entrenched for the kind of innovation we've seen in civilian freeze-dried meals?
I suspect the innovation will come from outside the MRE category entirely. someone's going to realize that there's a market for good-tasting, kosher-certified, shelf-stable, complete meals that aren't marketed as survival rations. They're just good food that happens to last. The technology exists. The certification pathways exist. It's just waiting for someone to connect the dots.
Until then, Daniel, skip the $17 beef stew. Hit the International Isle instead.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the early 1500s, Turkish oil wrestling, Yagli Gurinj, had a standard pre-match ritual where wrestlers would coat themselves in approximately 700 milliliters of olive oil per person. That is roughly the same volume of olive oil that a family of four in the Comoros would use for cooking over the course of an entire month.
That's a lot of olive oil.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. For Korn, I'm Herman Poppleberry. We'll catch you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.